Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Strap yourselves in. It is April 4th, 2011 on this Monday edition. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, and of course the man behind the hit TV show Conspiracy Theory on True TV, kicked off his latest publicity tour promoting an amazing new book that we, by the way, are now shipping out, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, available at Infowars.com. He's going to be joining us from New York today. He was on Good Morning America and said that he would like to be Ron Paul's running mate, that he would run with Ron Paul in the 2012 election. I talked to him a little bit privately about this months ago before he went down to Mexico, but didn't know if he was serious or not. And we'll find out today if he really is when former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura joins us here on the live broadcast. In the meantime, obviously there is an insane amount of important news to cover. Chief among it, the open calls to restrict the First Amendment by U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham and others after the Florida pastor torched the Koran after putting it on trial. Now he says he's going to put Muhammad on trial. And there have been at least 24 deaths in Afghanistan due to rioting that's going on, and the system is pushing to restrict the First Amendment openly. I was listening to local talk radio last night. I even called into the Kenny Romeyer show because about 20% or so, I listened for an hour, roughly 20% of the callers, he was taking call after call, were for restricting the First Amendment, or were saying that we don't have a right to burn a Koran, a Bible, the American flag, you name it. Now, whereas all of that is obviously disrespectful and distasteful and dangerous, it's still the First Amendment, and that's what it's all about, to live in a free society. So I'm going to be breaking this down. But also the way the media, the left and controlled right, both of the controlled left and right, are more and more pushing kind of the European model of, well, you can have free speech as long as it doesn't incite somebody. But if you say something that could upset somebody, we're going to go ahead and fine you or clap you in irons. We've seen similar things out of Cass Sunstein, the White House regulations are. So I want to look at these attempts to mainline the idea of restricting free speech. And the controlled right wing loves to say, well, if it hurts our war effort, ban it. Well, in America, we're the individual sovereigns. We have our First Amendment dealing with Congress shall make no law restricting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In fact, guys, will you grab me a pocket constitution? I'm going to go over some of the Bill of Rights today when we come back from break, or freedom of the press, or the people's right to peaceably assemble for a or to petition their government for a redress of grievances. I mean, all of this is in the First Amendment and is enshrined and protected. And we're going to be going over that and this report by Kurt Nemo that's very important up at Infowars.com. Lindsey Graham advocates killing the First Amendment. Other bizarre news, Gulf Spill Company hands out safety bonuses to the people that ran the rig that obviously dumped hundreds and hundreds of millions of gallons of or barrels of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico that then went into the Atlantic Ocean and, of course, the Caribbean Sea. Also, gold rises near 1,435 as dollar retreats. Oil climbs. We're going to get into Yemen, our gallant little ally, machine gunning large crowds of demonstrators. And I actually heard Fox News on XM driving in this morning praising it and saying, well, they've got to do this because if they don't, Al-Qaeda will take over. But then meanwhile, the West is backing Al-Qaeda in the attempted ouster of Libyan strongman and dictator Muammar Gaddafi there in North Africa. So that's coming up. Obama announces his reelection bid as the Wall Street money pours in. We're also going to get into France invading the Ivory Coast and backing the rebels that reportedly have killed 1,000 men, women, and children. They're the good guys, so that's okay. Just like dropping DU on Libya is good.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, the fourth day of April, 2011. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura has kicked off the promotion tour for his new bombshell book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. He'll be joining us today from New York in the second hour. We certainly look forward to that. He went on Good Morning America today and told them that he would certainly consider running on the ticket with Ron Paul for president in the 2012 election that's going to be kicking off very soon. In fact, Obama has already kicked it off with a video announcement on his private Barack Obama website that he will be seeking re-election, obviously, and is starting a campaign fundraising tour as the globalist and George Soros types prepare to fill his coffers. His initial campaign goal is to raise $1 billion so he can continue to be the puppet in chief. But Governor Jesse Ventura scheduled to be joining us today. Obviously, I'm going to get into the Koran burning situation and the ongoing attack on free speech in this country. We're going to get into what's happening with the economy, gold rising to $1,435 as the dollar falls and oil climbs. We're going to get into the mass murder going on by the Yemenis government, backed by the West and Fox News this morning. I was listening to him on XM, praising, saying he's got to do this, he's got to mow people down, because Al-Qaeda will take over the country if he doesn't. Meanwhile, real Al-Qaeda is being used as they were used in Serbia, as they were used against the Russians, as they've been used against America to take our liberties. They are being used against Muammar Gaddafi in North Africa. Also, the French are increasing their invasion force of the Ivory Coast, backing the admitted rebels who reportedly have killed at least 1,000 innocent men, women, and children, machine-gunning them and hacking them up with machetes just over the weekend. And the headlines are, the French are landing to stop the slaughter by backing the rebels that are doing it. So you got to love that. Has nothing to do with humanitarian operations. Remember the 800,000 conservatively killed in 1994. First we heard that the UN stood down in Rwanda. Then we learned they rounded up the minority group whose land they wanted, the Tutsis, and allowed the other group to come in. In fact, I had the printout on that in my stack yesterday. Will you guys re-pull my fact sheet on Rwanda? So when I get into that, I've got the facts in front of me. I want to make sure of that historically. Thank you so much. Obviously, we're going to be getting into an amazing video clip from former high-level CIA analyst Michael Scheuer, who was on CNN and basically went further than I've ever seen him in telling the truth about how this is all a staged event in Libya and basically backing Al-Qaeda, and that CNN was just carrying the water for those individuals. That story by the American Dream and the accompanying video is up on Infowars.com and PrisonPanda.com under the headline, Former CIA Officer Blows the Lid Off Libya Fraud, live on CNN. But before I go any further, I want to pull out my trusty citizen rule book, and I want to go to the Bill of Rights. And when you read the Bill of Rights on page 49 in this version of the citizen rule book that I have here in my hand, it begins with the preamble. The conventions of the number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution express a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, the further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, restrictive on government, and as extending to the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. Article 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That means government has no jurisdiction over religious activities, cannot tax it, cannot regulate it, cannot abridge it, cannot control it. Now, you know about 501c3 in the last 60 years. roughly, since the late 1940s. And you know that they trick churches into signing on as charities and waiving their rights by tricking them into a government-created charitable trust. And then they tell the churches, you can't talk about politics, you can't speak out for drug legalization or drug criminalization or abortion, or you can't speak out against political candidates. Totally kept, enslaved, monitored vassals of the federal government, completely illegal. I mean, you just read the Bill of Rights, and the federal government is waging war on every one of them systematically. But going back to the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That means you can have any religion you want as long as you don't break criminal laws. Or abridging, let me continue with the First Amendment, freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. But you try to protest, even with a permit in D.C., you get arrested half the time. Without one, you're going to jail. One man, 20 people, 1,000, they come after you. There's open calls by Republicans and Democrats and the White House regulations are Cass Sunstein to decide what you can say and can't say. You can't deny man-made global warming. They want you arrested. We've got Senator Jay Rockefeller, Senator Lindsey Graham, we've got Senator Lieberman, all constantly like barking dogs that won't shut up. Every time there's some type of crisis, they seize on it and say it's the First Amendment, it's the internet, it's freedom of speech. Now, if you look at what Europe does, and obviously I'm about to get into the Quran burning situation. Europe first came out and said after World War II, okay, Germany and other countries now enshrined under EU law, or 25 member nations, first you can't be a white supremacist. Then you can't criticize immigrants. Then you can't criticize the EU. You can't say mean things about a politician. Because even if they're true, that's not a defense, because it might incite someone to do something violent. So if I read the London Telegraph or the London Observer or Bloomberg, who are again reporting on the 300 and $76 billion, it's now up from $360 plus billion, dollars that Wachovia and Wells Fargo, and Wachovia, the subgroup of Wells Fargo, pled guilty but was not criminally charged and paid $100-something million fine, a tiny fraction of the $376 billion that they laundered, including paying for the aircraft, leasing them, running them, the entire operation. They make hundreds of billions and they pay $100 million fine. It was $100 million and change. It was $101 million. I read that article here on air, the latest from the London Guardian, when a caller called in and pointed it out. Because this was back in the news last year, but now it's back in the news. If I come out and say that Wachovia was caught dealing drugs, and somebody who's angry, who's, say, daughter died of a cocaine overdose, and they helped launder the money consciously, and then that mother goes and gets angry at them and does something, that's her issue, and that's their issue for invoking her passion. I shouldn't be censured with a D notice like they have in England, where the government can just quietly block media from reporting whatever they want, because I reported something that made people angry. I mean, it's like Nixon when they discovered he'd been lying and breaking into things and blackmailing people. Would Woodward and Bernstein get in trouble for exposing something that caused massive protest, some of them that turned violent? No, it's Richard Nixon that got caught engaging in the crimes that, quite frankly, are tame compared to modern times, that elicited that, not the people reporting on it. Now, number one, the federal government can make no laws dealing with religion. Or they can't tax it, they can't regulate it, they can't tell you what you can and can't do, period. That's why the Hopi Indians, federal courts have found, are allowed to take peyote, because for thousands of years, that's been part of their religion. It's very expansive, because it is the First Amendment. That is the press, the right to protest, the right to petition, and the right of religion, period. They have no jurisdiction. These are laws, the big mega laws, the big King Daddy laws, with statutory penalties against any Fed or any state agent, for that matter, that tries to violate them. Now, more and more, we see pushes from the controlled left and controlled right of how great it would be to restrict free speech. The left says that if it hurts equality, or that if it causes division or makes people upset or makes people sad, that you don't have a right. Of course, really, if something isn't true, libel, slander, defamation, then it's a civil matter and you can be brought to justice. There is that check and balance there. In the old days, if you said something that wasn't true, dueling was legal with swords and firearms, and somebody would knock on your door and say, come outside, get your second to make sure the rules are followed, the local referee, and I'm going to meet you on the field, or you apologize and admit you're a dirty, lying, stinking coward. But, again, I digress with history here. The media is promoting this pastor who's done this, and I don't agree with what he's done, but I agree with his right to do it, as a pretext to then begin to set the precedence and open the debate to restrict free speech here in America. And if they can say that he can't burn a Koran, next it will be, like it is in Canada, that people are barred from traveling to Canada or they're arrested if they criticize Muslims, Jews, Christians, but it's selectively enforced mainly only if you criticize Muslims or Jewish groups. Christianity, it's always great. If the Canadian Arts Department wants to fund feces on Mary, on an image of Mary, or here in the U.S., the feds want to finance the crucifix and urine. It's great. It's wonderful. It's taken care of. Because, again, Christianity is what's under attack by the globalists because it's the dominant system here. Islam's under attack in the Middle East because it's the dominant system there. I'm going to break all this down when we come back and play the shocking clip of Lindsey Graham saying, let's get that First Amendment. Let's shut it down. He wants to right now.
Freedom, the blistering anti-globalist anthem from the rock band Ravelin. Back in Rome's have their tools. Just one of 11 great songs from the album Under the Sun. Available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. R-A-V-E-L-Y-N. Ravelin.com. Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Trouble so hard, ooh, Lord, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
So, First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievance. Listening to CNN, Fox, on XM at home and in the car, listening to local talk radio on 590 AM, listening to other national radio in the last few days since the Quran burning kicked off, the video they'd shot weeks ago and just released Friday, and the subsequent riots in Afghanistan and protests in other parts of the world, and the 24 deaths that have been confirmed in Afghanistan, listening to these talk show hosts, a lot of them come out and say, should we restrict speech? Should we go ahead and arrest this guy? And about 20% of the callers on the shows I've heard, and some of the hosts, are openly saying, yeah, they think so, because it hurts the war effort, and General Petraeus said so. Well, how about General Petraeus stick to being a military commander? How about he stays out of our political activities here in the U.S. and our First Amendment that he's sworn to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic? I guess that makes himself a domestic enemy. Because when you're an enemy of the First Amendment, you're an enemy of it all. Okay, we run this country. We elect the representatives. We decide what our political views are. If we don't like a war and it hurts the war effort, then we shouldn't be having that war. It's part of a public discourse. If people want to burn Korans, that's their right to do it. I think it's stupid, but you know what? It's speech that's unpopular. It's speech that is evocative, that's protected. not just saying, oh, it's a pretty day. It's a pretty spring day with blue sky and birds tweeting. Well, nobody cares about that speech. Nobody gets upset about that. Or, man, that was a good hamburger. Nobody cares about that speech. Or, oh, I sure enjoyed working out at the gym today. I had a good workout. Nobody cares about, oh, hey, did you see the NCAA scores? No, it's there to protect your speech. And if Christians want to say Muslims are bad, that's their right. And if Muslims want to say Christians are bad or Jews are bad or Jews want to say Muslims are bad, that's their right. Or if atheists want to say Christians and Muslims are idiots, or if cartoonists want to draw cartoons making fun of the Prophet Muhammad, that's their right. That's their right to do that. That's why America's free. Now we're becoming less and less free. But it's so naked and out in the open to have Lindsey Graham and a bunch of others saying they want to move with legislation to restrict the First Amendment in America on anything that could, quote, hurt a war effort or upset somebody, anything that could be provocative. Why aren't we talking about the people that have killed 24 policemen, reportedly, in Afghanistan, have killed NATO troops? They've beheaded multiple UN workers. They go out and kill people that had nothing to do with this Quran burning. They are the ones with the problems. They are, now listen, they're suppressed in Afghanistan. They don't have any real liberties. But governments in the Middle East and Central Asia will allow people to blow up and vent their anger towards Western governments, even though many of those governments are puppets that allow that venting, because it's politically popular. Because under Sharia law, it's a big no-no to burn a Quran. Well, we're not under Sharia law. We're not under Vatican law. We're not under that. Sure, 500 years ago, if you burned a Bible, the Vatican would burn you at the stake. We're not under that. We're under the First Amendment. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and that's whose side I'm on. I believe my ideas are historical, are accurate, are cutting edge, are direct. And I know my ideas in a level playing field are going to win. So you can say your idiotic things. As long as you don't try to come to my house to take me to jail because you want my property or you want my land or you want my children or you want to stomp on my free speech, you can have your free speech. But the minute you touch me, the minute you lay your hands on me, the First Amendment, the Declaration of Independence says I can unleash absolute firepower on you. You understand that? Now let's go ahead. Well, we're going to go to break and come back with a Lindsey Graham clip, but in the long segment coming up. But this is incredible. And they really are pushing this. Here's Kurt Nemo's excellent article at Infowars.com. Lindsey Graham advocates killing First Amendment in response to idiotic and pointless burning of the Quran by Florida pastor and the deadly riots that fall in Afghanistan. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina has proposed limiting the First Amendment. He told CBS's Bob Schaefer Sunday, I wish we could find a way to hold people accountable. Free speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. Oh, it's a great idea, but he went on to say that he is preparing to try to get legislation passed to do this. And he also promoted FDR's Executive Order 8985 that established the Office of Censorship. So they're promoting that. The order gave a legion of bureaucrats absolute discretion over the existence of the First Amendment, the free speech of all Americans. And you couldn't criticize war profiteering or planes that fell out of the sky because they were shoddily made. You had to love the corruption.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
We're about 30 minutes away from former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura joining us. The ABC News headline is, Vice President Ventura, will he run with Ron Paul? We'll ask him about that when he joins us from New York, coming up when we start the next hour. Okay, going back to this whole First Amendment issue, listening to talk radio hosts, listening and watching Fox and CNN, they are openly saying, well, that Lindsey Graham does have a point, and General Petraeus, we might have to restrict free speech if it hurts the war effort. Now, remember, over 70% of Americans in every major poll want us out of Afghanistan. 9+ years, coming up on 10 years, with no publicly stated reason to be there. It's always changing. They say security, but it's really about $500 billion in opium, trillions in oil pipeline control, destabilizing Pakistan. And then we've got Fox News with Geraldo last year with the Marine Corps colonel saying, yeah, we help grow the opium for the locals, because if we don't, Al-Qaeda will make the money. I mean, they're publicly producing this stuff in front of everybody. Now, that said, if they're able to set the precedent to say that if it hurts a war effort and the government and the military decides if it does, then we're living in an official dictatorship of a bunch of autocratic control freaks. And they are quoting times in World War II where there were censors dealing with military news, what ships were being launched, what time they were leaving, which is unconstitutional in and of itself right there. But now they're expanding that to say that if a misguided preacher burns something, well, then we've got to go ahead and go after them. And if they can do that, well, then any political group out there can go out and protest or throw some Molotov cocktails, and then the government's going to come in and say, we've got to restrict that. And that's what the EU does. That's what Canada does. The government decides if something's provocative. They decide if something could incite someone. And Europe has moved to censure newspapers that have had cartoons in the last few years of, you know, Muhammad with his turban as a bomb or things like that. And whereas I'm not trying to stir up religious groups, I'm not trying to create division and infighting, and the globalists are actually hyping this up to create balkanization and division and clash of civilizations so they can stir the Muslims up to cause crises, and so they can then restrict our free speech here at home. But here is Lindsey Graham advocating killing First Amendment on Face the Nation yesterday. We'll play part of it if you want to see the full clip. It's in Kurt Nemo's article, Lindsey Graham Advocates Killing First Amendment.
I want to get to this Afghanistan thing. General Petraeus today condemned the actions of this Florida preacher who burned the Koran. You heard what Senator Reid said.
Yeah.
Is there anything that actually can be done along this line?
You know, I wish we could find some way to hold people accountable. Free speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. During World War II, you had limits on what you could say if it would inspire the enemy. So burning a Quran is a terrible thing, but it doesn't justify killing someone. Burning a Bible would be a terrible thing, but it wouldn't justify a murder. But having said that, anytime we can push back here in America against actions like this that put our troops at risk, we ought to do it. So I look forward to working with Senator DeCherry and Reid and others to condemn this, condemn violence all over the world based in the name of religion. But General Petraeus understands better than anybody else in America what happens when something like this is done in our country. And he was right to condemn it, and I think Congress would be right to reinforce what General Petraeus said.
We saw the report from Liz Palmer, turmoil all across.
And it goes on from there with more of similar statements. So he says the First Amendment's a great idea. Well, no, it's a great law. It's the law. It's what America's founded on. It's the First Amendment for a reason, Lindsey, who supports carbon taxes and the rest of it, a sickening little globalist. Now, he also brings up World War II and censors, and then went on to bring up executive orders to restrict it. And there's other discussions about trying to introduce laws. He says they should push back the out-of-control government, the out-of-control Pentagon. What happened 6 months ago when polls came out showing over 70% of the American people in Gallup did not want us to be in Afghanistan anymore? And what did the Secretary of Defense Gates say? He said, I don't care what you think. I don't care what the American people want. I thought we run the government. It wasn't a declared war. It's unconstitutional. We're there almost 10 years later. It's a joke. And they lie to us as a matter of course. Turns out they admit special forces from the U.S. and Britain were in the east of the North African country of Libya before all this started, that it is Al-Qaeda is the core of the group being funded and armed by the West, that they've taken over the oil port, set up their own bank, their own oil company. And they're going to spread this contagion all over Africa as a pretext for the West to invade. Then France and other EU countries, they're on the west coast of Africa and the Ivory Coast with all the oil and gold and diamonds that are there, claim that the incumbent lost the election when that's disputed. Then they finance the rebel leader who reportedly has people with machetes and guns hacking and killing people, just 1,000 this weekend, men, women, and children. And then you read the headlines, more French troops landing an airport, taking over, getting behind the rebels to stop the massacres, and then buried footnotes, it's the rebels engaged in the massacres. This is the new globalist model. They finance rebels to start a war with a country the globalists want to invade. No fly zones, bombing, invasions. But then meanwhile, in Yemen, the death toll rises, as U.S. said to press the leader to go. And it goes on. I was listening to Fox News this morning. They admitted that the government, that's Western-backed, is machine-gunning crowds en masse. The death toll is unknown. And I'm listening to Fox, and they've got a reporter from there saying, well, the government here is fighting Al-Qaeda. That's you know, if they don't do this to these protesters with live ammunition, that's what they called shooting people and killing them. Was if they don't stop using live ammunition, you know, if they do stop, then Al-Qaeda may take over in the power vacuum here. And so you've got to understand they need to do this. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda is in Libya running these operations, Western-backed, with that long history of using Al-Qaeda to hit the Russians, hit the Serbs, hit others. They're now calling them Mujahideen again and telling us that we're doing it because Gaddafi fought back against the rebels. So a very dangerous global system. And I even have a clip off Fox News I meant to play yesterday where the host admitted on that show that this is part of forming global government and setting the precedent for UN NATO-backed groups to invade whoever they want, whenever they want. So should a foreign government invade the United States under UN orders at Kent State whenever the military National Guard shot some people? Should we invade Yemen? Should the globalists use our power and our military we've paid for to do that? I mean, what happens when the Pakistanis on a routine basis shoot crowds of protesters? Do you hear talk of invading Pakistan? Why aren't they calling the people chopping the heads off UN forces, shooting NATO forces in Afghanistan? Why aren't they calling them freedom fighters? I don't think they're freedom fighters when they're killing and chopping people's heads off. But if a group rebels and tries to overthrow an unpopular government, and it's admitted Karzai stole the election and it is a dictatorship in Afghanistan, then if you're going to invade Libya over this, which they're now admitting, well, we're going to have a ground force, but it's going to be to back up the rebels for humanitarian support. And the bombs dropping, that's not a war either. Just like Limbaugh last week, he said, well, look at this Rolling Stone article. We've got the troops accidentally killing innocent people. No, they knew they were killing people that weren't armed. And he says, well, that's because our government's inept. Our military's inept then. Because used to, we killed people on purpose, civilians. No, we didn't do that until World War II. Okay? And if Limbaugh wants to go along with that line that attacking civilians is good, well, then if he believes 9/11 wasn't an inside job, if he believes 9/11 was an outside job, then he has to say that Al-Qaeda legitimately attacked civilian targets on 9/11. I don't agree with that. But see, they expect us to not have common sense and logic. And to, I mean, we have a public mind, at least a portion of the population, that's very duplicitous. That's extremely duplicitous in their worldview. Common sense, more and more, has been extricated completely out of the window. Now, I have another video clip we're going to play here in just a moment. And again, if you want to watch this video, it's up on Infowars.com. Former CIA officer blows lid off Libya fraud live on CNN. And, of course, he's former top analyst Michael Scheuer. And this article from the American Dream reports, every once in a while, establishment control of the media cracks for a moment. In an effort to achieve higher ratings, mainstream news programs will invite guests on that promise to be interesting. Now, it starts slow in the six-minute clip, but it gets hardcore at the end when he basically just says this is nothing but a propaganda channel, and he begins to admit that basically this is Al-Qaeda being backed in North Africa by the West, and he agrees with Ron Paul's analysis of the situation. He was the CIA's top bin Laden expert. Here's that clip. Former CIA officer.
Now, help for Libyan rebels from the CIA. President Obama reportedly signing off on this. Sources say CIA operatives are on the ground in Libya and in contact with the opposition.
And joining us to talk more about the CIA's possible role in Libya from Washington, former CIA counterterrorism analyst Michael Scheuer. Michael, thanks for being with us this morning.
You're welcome.
So there are reports out, again, that the CIA is on the ground in Libya, contacting and vetting the rebels. Is this...
They were there from the start.
I don't think there's any other possible reason for it. And the president clearly has sent the agency in to find out who he is supporting and to see what kind of material, human material, we would have to work with if the president decided to arm and train these people over the longer term.
Yeah, and you're concerned about this prospect. You think it could become another Taliban situation for the U.S. What, in your mind, is the worst-case scenario here?
Well, Libya has been very strong in sending young men or having its young men go overseas to fight in Islamic insurgencies in the Balkans, in Chechnya, Afghanistan, especially Iraq, when the height of the fighting was there. Those that don't get killed, of course, go home. And I think the core of the resistance, whatever little military ability they have, is probably made up by people elsewhere we would call mujahideen. And so it's a dicey proposition to be getting involved with this. I'm not sure that the opposition, if it takes power, is going to be much better than was Gaddafi.
But that's why you need to have the CIA, I presume, in there vetting, as we said, who are these people? Who are the elements that are funding them or supporting them? Who are the politically the most palatable and the least palatable among them? The White House saying that no decision has been made. I have a question for you as a CIA veteran, I guess. I mean, the fact that we even know about this, is that unusual? I mean, should we just assume that the CIA in this sort of a situation would, of course, be in there on the ground?
Well, you have to assume that the president wants the best information that he can get. And if he wants to have that information, he has to have somebody on the ground. And so, yes, I think you assume wherever there's trouble, you'll find the agency. The other point I would make here is that vetting the people who are in the opposition, of course, is only you're only able to do that to the extent that they're willing to talk to you. I think the agency will find a lot of people who are pro-democracy and westernized happy to talk to them. The more Islamic-oriented people aren't going to talk to them because that would bring into question our air support for them. So this is a mission that's a very difficult one, and the chances of success are really probably not better than 50-50.
What's the alternative? If we don't arm the rebels and they're clearly outmanned and outgunned by Gaddafi's forces, what's the better solution here?
The better solution was, as Mr. Paul said, never go at all. This was none of our business. But I think what we're seeing is the string is playing out. We threatened Gaddafi and that didn't work. There's an arms embargo and an economic embargo. That didn't work. There was a UN resolution and that didn't work. Aerial bombing has continued and has impact, but it hasn't defeated him. Now we're at the stage where we're going to try to apparently try to train and arm the resistance. That takes a long time. I don't know if we have that time against Gaddafi. What we're seeing is the president putting himself into a corner where his only option is ground troops.
But that's something that is not, that's something that no one says that they want to do.
They're already there.
I mean, they simply don't want to do that.
Well, the choice may come down to admitting that it was a mistake and being defeated in the sense that Gaddafi survives, or putting ground troops in. Nations are a lot like people. They don't like making, admitting to mistakes. And maybe they don't want to put them in, but when it comes down to looking defeat in the face, I wonder.
You know, you led the CIA's unit that tracked Osama bin Laden 1996 to 1999, and you believe that much like that situation, America's involvement in Libya could prove to be a recruiting tool for extremists. Why?
Oh, it's absolutely a recruiting tool. It's the American-led West attacking a Muslim country that has
they've
oil.
They've been very careful to say it's not the American-led West, that NATO has now fully taken over the operations. Firepower was used in the beginning, but that this is a coalition that includes Arab states.
That may fool some Americans. It's not going to fool the people who sympathize with bin Laden and other Islamists. This is really a U.S.-led operation. And you talk about the Arab states that are involved. The Arab states are tyrannies that are hated by their own people. This is a piece of theater set up by Mrs. Clinton and Mr. McCain and the bipartisan group that loves to intervene abroad. In the Muslim world, this is Americans killing Muslims again. And it looks like it's for oil.
I just want to ask, are you trying to have it both ways and saying that, okay, these are tyrannies that hate their own people? Well, that's why we're helping, because in Libya, it was the people that wanted Gaddafi out, that they were tired of it. So weren't we then supporting Islamic democracy, I guess you could say, in these countries where they're tired of totalitarian rule?
If we were supporting Islamic democracy, that would be one thing. But if you listen to Mrs. Clinton, and especially the rather crazed Ms. Rice at the UN, this is all about democracy in a world where democracy is not going to take hold.
I think it's very clear, Michael Scheuer, that you are no fan of this policy and this administration. I think calling Ambassador Rice crazed is certainly a significant charge.
Well, I don't know. I've just listened to her. You know, that's only my impression. And I have to say, this is not a Democratic problem. This is a Republican problem, too. Both parties love to intervene in other people's business where there are no U.S. interests at stake and where we spend enormous amounts of money at a time when we're nearly bankrupt. That doesn't seem to me to be a wise practice of American statesmanship.
And that's a whole other story. To call the United States bankrupt, the United States is running humongous deficits, yes, but the economy and this mission in Libya are two separate issues.
They're not separate issues, ma'am. You're just carrying the water for Mr. Obama.
I'm certainly not carrying anyone's water, and I will assure you of that. Michael Scheuer, thank you so much for your time. We've had a very long, exhaustive interview. You had plenty of time to give your point of view on that. We're going to be right back. It's 38 minutes past.
Thanks, Michael.
There you go. I mean, those two women just going off talking points. There he is laying out the facts to these teleprompter reading creatures. We'll be right back. We are back live. Governor Jesse Ventura will be joining us coming up in the next hour. You just heard Michael Scheuer, former top CIA analyst on the Middle East, saying we are a bankrupt country. See, the globalists are offshore banks. They use America as their credit card to finance their operations. And even if you're for a corrupt empire, we don't get any of the spoils of this. We fit the bill. We become hated. Then the system uses outside enemies as a pretext to take our liberties. And he talks about the U.S. being really technically bankrupt. That's what most analysts concur on, through the fraud of the derivatives, and they just start laughing at him like it's funny. This is the same news channel that tells us the economy rebounded a year and a half, almost 2 years ago in June of 2009. And speaking of attacks on free speech and the court system, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to be tried by military commission after years of being held in a middle of torture, Holder set to make announcement today. Well, if he's a terrorist, put him up before a trial. Let's see the evidence. And under announcements by Bush and the Military Commissions Act, they can do this to citizens. And Obama's continued all that. They're not just attacking the First Amendment or the Second. They're attacking the Ninth, the Tenth, the Seventh, the Fourth, the Fifth. Due process, everything is under attack. Coming up later, gold rises to close to an all-time high, $1,435. Silver exploding. Japan nuke plant operator to dump radioactive water into the ocean. Japan nuclear crisis. Workers using newspapers and sawdust to block pipes. The Germans are sending over their giant, the biggest concrete dumper in the world to try to fix it. Fukushima workers, again, trying to plug radiation leaks with bits of newspaper, garbage bags, diaper-like material. Steve Watson reports at PrisonPlanet.com. And they're also reporting in California 181 times safe levels of radioactive iodine found in the water supply. The New York Times buried that as a footnote yesterday. Don't forget, with Ventura coming up, we are carrying and now shipping out what I think is his most powerful book, Each One Gets Better. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. We're going to be going over this and a lot more with Jesse Ventura coming up. All available at InfoWars.com. Also the books, the videos, the potassium iodate, the rad stickers, the strategic relocation book that we're almost sold out of, all available at Infowars.com. Also, some of our other sponsors that make the broadcast possible. Diamond Gusset Jeans, made in America, celebrating 25 years. Rarely does a song like Looking for America that they promoted by Mark Williams explode like it has. Diamond Gusset released this on the Alex Jones Show first, and we want to thank the listeners for making it a hit. It's gone as high as what is now 14 on the country charts. It really defines and makes a hit song is the reaction our listeners had to the song, and it's promoting having factories again in the U.S. We want to thank Diamond Gusset for making a great American-made jeans. We want to thank you for making Looking for America such a success. Go to gusset.com/sale to hear the hit country song and to check out the big discounts. That was 14 last week ago. Looking for America made it to number 4 on the GAC charts. You heard it here first, Diamond Gusset, gusset.com/sale. Check them out today to get big discounts on those Made in America jeans. Also, endofamerica3.com to see the free breakdown video by Stansberry Research, endofamerica3.com. Stansberry and Associate Investment Research is an independent investment research firm founded in 99 with subscriptions in more than 100 different countries. They recently created an eye-opening video you can see at endofamerica3.com for free, telling their biggest and most important prediction yet. Check it out at endofamerica3.com. And last but not least, purewaterfreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit purewaterfreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride systems they have as well. They have a wide variety of filters, all made in the USA, for your shower, bath, you name it. Go to purewaterfreedom.com or check out the banner at Infowars.com. That's purewaterfreedom.com. Governor Jesse Ventura, straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we've got a jam-packed interview, and I'm very honored that Ventura chose our show in the first day of his kickoff and promotion of the new book that I think is his best, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. We're going to be going over some of these documents in the next hour. We're going to learn here today, is the TV show coming back with another hit season on True TV? ABC News has the headline, Vice President Ventura, talking about maybe a run with Ron Paul. He'll clarify that. The TSA was in Fox News last week saying they're going to try to overthrow his lawsuit. But there's dozens and dozens of others that have been filed, 9 states moving to pass laws. One's already done it. In Alaska to say, no, you can't stick your hands down people's pants. We're going to discuss it all with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, multi-time New York Times best-selling author, back from a few months of cogitating and surfing in the Baja of Mexico. Good to have you here, Governor.
Hi, Alex. Always great to talk to you, and I wish you could see my beautiful suntan.
Oh, man, I am so envious of you.
No, I'm doing terrific. I flew into New York last week, and I did, started kicking off the book tour, and I'm really excited about this book, and I want everyone to understand that every document in this book is out in the public domain. You know, there's nothing that we did illegally to gain documents, and in fact, in the epilogue of the book, readers can go to many of the sources if they are intrigued and they want to learn more and do their own research. We give you a complete list of where to go on the internet. And Alex, I might add, guess what I have now, believe it or not?
What?
I know this is going to shock you. I now have an official Jesse Ventura website.
Awesome. Tell us about it.
Well, my son Tyrell, he's the computer guy, so he's running it, but it's simple. It's called weaintgottimetobleed.com.
Weaintgottimetobleed.com.
Yep, that's the official Jesse Ventura website. So all the other ones are baloney. This is the one that I will actually participate in and all that on the web. So it is we ain't got time to bleed.com.
Well, it's a good looking site. We've got it up on the front page right now to the video viewers, not just the radio listeners. We'll put a link on Infowars.com. And it's great design. And I see letters to the ruling class. You've got an article there on the front page.
Well, maybe so. I haven't seen it myself. I've been too busy traveling. So that I give credit to my son.
Well, Ty's a great guy and has done a great job on the TV show, and we've gotten to be good friends and talk routinely. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. He's got a new movie he just finished that's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, I guess so. He's working, and I like the idea that he's not, that I don't have to support him too much anymore.
Well,
like all parents do for their children, you know, you got to carry them a little bit on your back till they get their feet on the ground.
Well, he did a great job on the two seasons of the show, man. I'm really impressed with his work.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. But anyway, enough of that. Let's get down to business here.
Absolutely. This is always a short segment at the first. We're coming back in a long segment. What do you want to get into first? Because I want to get into the book at the bottom of the hour. So we focus on that in one big chunk, going through some of the 63 documents?
You lead, Alex. I'll follow.
Well, okay, then when we come back, let's get into Vice President Ventura. This is ABC News. You could fill us in. We're about to go to break, but reading part of ABC News. He's been a Navy SEAL, pro wrestler, author, governor of Minnesota, and even appeared on a soap opera. So is running for vice president the next thing on Ventura's to-do list? And this is the quote. I will tell you this. If Ron Paul runs as an independent, I will give great consideration to being his running mate. He told Good Morning America. Ventura dedicated his book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, to Representative Ron Paul, calling him the only federally elected official who will stand up for the American people on the congressional floor. But the former governor said he would not join the ticket if Paul runs as a Republican. Never. I will not be a Democrat or Republican. They are the problem, not the solution. We need to abolish political parties in this country, Ventura said. What about Representative Bachman? Well, we'll tell you what he said about her as well. We'll get it directly from Jesse Ventura, live and uncensored, on the other side.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, this happens a lot. We tend to crash people's websites, even if they're on huge servers, but we're going to hopefully do that here today. We ain't got time to bleed.com is Jesse Ventura's new maiden website, full of inside scoop and his views on the world. I'm looking at the homepage right now on prisonplanet.tv. It's got dossier, appearances, declassified vault, outpost. He's got letters to the ruling class right up there on the front page. The new book that just officially came out today is already making its way to the top of Amazon and the top of the New York Times bestseller list. If you want to support Infowars.com, we have the book discounted out of the gates, available at Infowars.com. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. And I've loved all his books, and I've read them all. From Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, to his latest book. But I got to tell you, this book is his most powerful, and it's a coffee table page turner. It's something to give somebody because it's all 63 documents that are public, that are declassified, that are admitted, but a lot of them nobody knows about. It's got the big ones like Northwoods and Paperclip, but it's got the others. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to walk through some of what Jesse thinks are the top 10 or so in the book, available at Infowars.com or the website, weaintgottimetobleed.com. And he's here for just a week doing a limited tour, and then he's back to Mexico. We're going to talk about, will he run with Ron Paul for president? What's his view on his suit against the TSA and mounting resistance to it? We've got a host of things. Is his TV show coming back? I've got the inside scoop here, but he'll give it to you live on air for everybody out there. But before we go there, Governor, again, just want to welcome you to the airwaves and glad you're back in the U.S.
If only temporarily, and but I need to get back to Mexico quick because I'm losing my suntan.
I want to just run through a grab bag of laundry list of things before we get into the really big issues. You were telling me during the break you didn't know about Libya for a week. You didn't know about the earthquake for a week. Tell us what it's like down in Mexico and then your view on Libya, your view on the earthquake and the ongoing radioactive fallout.
Well, what people need to understand, when I go to Mexico, I spend 4 months down there. I live an hour from pavement and an hour from electricity. My house is completely solar, and I don't watch TV. TV, and I call it flushing my brain out. I go down there, and I live a life where I only pay attention to what's within eyesight of me. And it's kind of nice, you know, I'm 59 years old now, and it's kind of nice to do that every year because it kind of reinvigorates you. As you'll see, I'm reinvigorated right now, and when I permanently do come back to the U.S. in May, I'll be ready to roll even more. But I'm getting old now, so I got to take those breaks and go out on the water occasionally and enjoy the ocean and everything like it down there. And I really, in fact, I'll tell you this, Alex, my wife and I were considering applying for Mexican citizenship.
Really?
Yeah, now, and that doesn't mean I'm giving up my U.S. citizenship. You can have dual citizenship. But it would make, since I go down there so often, it would make life a lot easier crossing the border both ways if you're a citizen of both countries.
Well, it's obviously a beautiful country. I've been all over it, but it is, in many cases, a failed state. I've read the area you're in is a lot safer than other areas, but are you ever concerned about the country completely collapsing into bedlam?
I don't know, but, you know, maybe it needs somebody. If I become a citizen, Alex, that means I can run for office down there, doesn't it?
Ha! Oh, see, the governor of the Baja.
Or maybe president of Mexico.
Are you serious? I think they love you down there.
I say that tongue in cheek, you know. You got to remember, I'm still just a big old gringo to those people down there, and I'm sure they would elect someone who was probably born and raised there.
Well, expanding on that, you've been outspoken about this, and all the experts that look at it agree. If they decriminalize drugs, the destabilization of Mexico would end overnight, but they don't want to decriminalize them because it just came out in Bloomberg, $376 billion in drug money laundered by Wachovia and Wells Fargo.
Really? No kidding. Well, you know, if you tie it in to what happened in Afghanistan, when we went in, you know, Taliban went into Afghanistan, they shut down all the poppy growers and the drug lords over there, and, you know, all that money gets channeled right through, laundered right through the international banks, and maybe that played a major role in the, you know, the bank downturn and the bailout that we had to do here in the United States, because they weren't getting their illegal drug money, and of course, now that the U.S. is back in there, and our allies seem to be the drug dealers of Afghanistan, I guess the poppy business is up and running good again, and the banks are getting solvent again.
And your book does get into some of that as well, the 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. Looking at the Libya situation, it turns out that Al-Qaeda, according to even the Washington Post, is the core of the rebels now being armed by the West, just like they armed them against the Serbs, just like the West armed them against the Russians.
Wait, Alex, if Al-Qaeda is on the side of the rebels in Libya, why are we fighting them in Afghanistan then?
Absolutely, Governor. What's your view?
I'm confused over that. I mean, that's ridiculous. I thought they were our enemy.
Well, it's like 1984. One day we're at war with them, the next day we aren't. But yeah, we're fighting them in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and the rebel leader even admits that he sent Al-Qaeda to Iraq to, quote, kill U.S. soldiers. That was the headline last week, but now he's our gallant little ally. What do you think's happening in Libya? Maybe the trillions in oil?
Oh, absolutely, it's got to do with oil. You know, if you look at what we enter into, and I made this statement too, I said, unfortunately, young men and women that join our military today, they're not really defending us. What they are, they're the strong arm for big multinational corporations. And it's been going on for years and years. If you read the memoirs of General Smedley Butler, the two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner who died in 1940, he said that's the way it was way back in the teens and 20s, that the Marine Corps essentially worked for the United Fruit Corporation, and when Central and South American companies wouldn't cooperate, they sent in the Marines. So, you know, it it hurts me and pains me to say that, being a United States veteran, that, you know, it seems that our military doesn't really work for us. They work for whatever the corporations want them to do.
Well, that's four wars now, and on the Ivory Coast, the rebels admittedly have killed 1,000 innocent people, so the French have now invaded on the west coast of Africa to back up the rebels overthrowing the government. This looks like the start of an invasion of the African continent to me.
I don't know. You know, they're obviously, you know, they know not letting us know, and I suppose we'll have to go on another document search to try to figure out what exactly they are doing. You know what I found unbelievable doing this book, Alex? Do you know how many documents the United States government last year classified top secret?
I know it's got to be in the hundreds of thousands.
Try 16 million.
Whoa.
I mean, that's got to be every document the government puts out. 16 million documents were classified top secret.
Well, you notice that Obama promised to have the most transparent government ever, and now he's had more secret meetings at the White House, classified more stuff than even Bush.
I'll tell you what else he's doing that is actually worse than Bush, too. He's being harsher on whistleblowers than Bush is. Eric Holder is way more harsh on whistleblowers than even the Bush administration was.
And they're continuing the torture, the secret arrest. He just reauthorized the Patriot Act.
Oh, that is unbelievable. I mean, we cover that in the intro of my book. This thing violates our Constitution in a half a dozen places. And yet, why does our country, and where's our Supreme Court here? You know, our country was set up, the forefathers, so that a president and a Congress cannot simply pass a law and have it supersede the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You've got to go through hoops. You've got to change the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and that itself requires ratification by two-thirds of the states. None of this is being done. They're violating our Constitution so bad, they ought to go to jail.
Well, I agree with you. In fact, we saw Obama not even consult Congress 3 weeks ago when they got the United Nations resolution for the bombardment, the so-called no-fly zone. And we know U.S. and British special forces have been in there the whole time. Since when does the president not even consult Congress? Before, at least Bush would get some type of authorization of force.
Well, you know, but even that they do after the fact. You know, they passed that law way back in the 70s, and they're violating the hell out of it. Well, I'll tell you what, Alex, when I'm in Mexico, I don't even call us the United States of America anymore. Do you know what I refer to us as? The fascist states of America. Everybody in this country thinks we're going socialist. No, we're not. We're fascist. Because the basic definition of fascism is when corporations and organized religion team up to control the government.
Well, you're absolutely on target there. And I've noticed how they're making it all about cutting unions and cutting spending, which is great. But all the economists I've interviewed have pointed out the $1.5 quadrillion in derivatives. If we don't say no to Wall Street's trillions of debt they've created that they've gotten government to sign on to and bail out, then there's no way we could cut everything and it wouldn't even pay for a fraction of the debt that we've been signed on to.
Laugh out of it that you got all these Republican and these new governors out there that are literally destroying the unions, the public unions and all that stuff, and laying the financial blame onto them? What, because some union asked for a dollar more an hour? Give me a break. And yet nobody on Wall Street has gone to prison over this mess, and yet they're going to now shift the blame and try to make the public believe it's unions that are at fault.
Exactly, and we've got a leg chopped off, and the media is focusing in on a hangnail.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. They're focusing in on a hangnail, and we got our leg chopped off. A good way to say it.
Well, but you're absolutely right, Governor, that this is a bait and switch. I'm not even saying that these unions, some of them aren't, a little bit entitled.
Well, of course. You know, you got to understand, unions can get overbearing, too. But I'll tell you what, if you want to destroy the middle class, unions.
And they've done that, and the middle class is falling apart, and now the unions are basically just Democratic Party attack dogs to collect dues for them.
Exactly. And they're not even honest, because I can give you a complete example on that end. When I ran for governor of Minnesota, May Shunk, my lieutenant governor, and I were the only two vested union members in the race, and we didn't get one union endorsement.
Yeah, the unions...
Well, I went right to the Democrats.
The unions were taken over from within a long time ago. Governor Ventura, let's get into...
Let me add, not the union itself, just the union leadership. Because I went to one union meeting where the rank and file voted I was there to endorse me, and yet their leadership threw that out, and the endorsement went to Skip Humphrey.
So they've taken over the full spectrum of the Republicans and Democrats and all these major institutions that were set up to serve the people in our interest. Now we've got special interest. Let's talk about your Good Morning America interview where you kicked off your tour this morning. The headline is Vice President Ventura. Clarify your position. I know Ron Paul's going to see this or hear this later. Many other congressmen are actually tuning in right now because they've told me they listen at lunch at the Capitol. Tell your message to Ron Paul dealing with the fact that you're willing to run as his vice president.
I never said who would be president or vice president. Ron and I may have to flip a coin. I just said I would run with him. But no, I'm just having fun with you, Alex. No, in fact, this book, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to see, if you look at it, I dedicated the book to Congressman Ron Paul. And I did that because he was the only congressman we have that had the courage to go out on the floor of the Congress and support WikiLeaks. Ron, like Ron Paul said, he said, nobody's died from WikiLeaks. How many people have died from the trumped-up intelligence and the lying that got us into the Iraq war? And then he said something even more profound, and that was this. He talked about, in a free country like ours, when the truth equals treason, we're in big trouble. And that's what, in essence, they're saying. If you tell the truth, you're guilty of treason. And I'll tell you, if that's the prevailing thought in this nation today, we are hurting. And so, no, I just said that if Ron Paul would quit the Republican Party, because I will not run as a Democrat or Republican, I want nothing to do with these parties. They are the problem. They are not the solution. They're the ones that have been in control of this country, like Ralph Nader calls us the two-party dictatorship. They are the ones that have us in this mess. They are the ones that have caused all the debt problems. Everything falls to the Democrats and the Republicans, and it's time to throw them out. The people of this country can do a major thing, and it's so easy. It's as clear as the nose on your face, but most people can't see it. The old cliche, you can't see the forest for the trees. The next election, don't vote for any Republicans or Democrats. That would be the greatest thing that could happen in this country, is to break down and destroy these two political parties that we have. Now, I stated that if Ron Paul would quit the Republican Party, and if he asked me, I would give serious consideration for running with him. Now, will he quit the Republicans? I have no idea. But that's what it would take, because I will not run as a Republican. I will not run as a Democrat. I want nothing to do with these two parties.
Governor Jesse Ventura, of course, host of the hit investigative show Conspiracy Theory. Ron Paul's view, and I've talked about this on air and off air privately with him, he's obviously a libertarian, ran as a libertarian in the late 80s, only got a fraction of the vote. His view is use the Republican Party apparatus, the fundraising engine, the fact that they're already in all 50 states, that they have the boots on the ground, that he thinks the best chance to win is through that system. He certainly doesn't like the two parties. He decries the two parties.
Nomination. He has to understand that. The Republicans are not going to put Ron Paul up as their presidential nominee.
I think you're right at a certain point, because even Ronald Reagan was too conservative in 1980, and it was on record that they ordered him. They said, we don't care if you've won. We're not going to nominate you, even though you've been winning in these states, unless you put George Herbert Walker Bush, Mr. CIA, in there, who really became the shadow president.
Exactly. And that's my point. You know, all due respect to Ron Paul, but I don't believe the Republicans would, no matter how many of these he wins, he's too much of a rogue. He is not bought and sold by the multinational corporations, plus the biggest thing of all. He calls for an audit of the Federal Reserve. You think the Republican or Democratic parties are going to stand for a candidate that demands an audit of the Federal Reserve?
Well, not in the past, but he did get it passed in the House. They use a procedural to block it in the Senate. His son, Rand, who we've interviewed many times, has now been traveling to Iowa and places. Looks like he may be getting ready for a run. But here's the headline. Paul bid wouldn't get snub this time. That's out of a big syndicated column in papers
all over the country, also in the Register. We've got a lot of reports here. Obama has now announced, obviously, that he's going to be running again. Speaking of Obama, I mean, isn't this somebody who should be impeached for reauthorizing the Patriot Act, expanding the wars, breaking all of his promises? I mean, so many Democrats who are still supporting him, the Democratic Party, they ought to apologize now, because if they criticize Bush, who needed to be criticized, now they're discredited.
Well, I agree with you, but the point is, if you're going to impeach Obama, you should have impeached Bush and Cheney.
Yes.
You know, absolutely, because they're the ones that set the table for all this stuff. They destroyed the economy. They put us in both the wars. They originated the Patriot Act, which is so outrageous. I cover that in my book, how many places it totally violates our Bill of Rights. You know, and so, you know, to me, it's a case of they won't impeach anybody. Are you kidding me? If they didn't impeach Bush and Cheney, they're certainly not going to impeach Obama.
But you would support a impeachment hearings in the House?
Not really, because who do you get then? You get Biden.
Oh, he's really bad, yeah.
You know, I mean, come on, you know. You know, you could hurt yourself by doing that.
Well, you still got to bring him to justice.
To me, let's impeach these guys by voting them out of office next election, both Democrats and Republicans. That's the way to impeach them. Don't vote for them.
Governor, looking now at the TSA situation, I have the report here, ABC News. Feds want Ventura's suit against TSA thrown out, but they've got a problem. At least nine states passing laws or preparing to pass laws saying it's illegal, that a peace officer can't stick their hand down your pants. How can some minimum wage goon do it? Break down your view on the building resistance to the TSA, and I just want to thank you as well for putting yourself out on the field yet again with this lawsuit.
Well, you know, that's what I'm doing. I want a ruling from a federal judge. They want it thrown out. Well, that's fine and dandy. That's what they have the right to do. But if the judge throws it out, that will be a clear sign to all of the American people that the Constitution and Bill of Rights are meaningless now. Because of the fact, Alex, I don't want to sound, I don't know what to say, but this suit only involves me. It is not a class action suit or anything of the sort, because the Bill of Rights are rights for each one of us as individuals. And what my suit is, in essence, is I'm suing them on the Fourth Amendment, which is reasonable search and seizure. I'm stating that it is not reasonable to believe that Governor Jesse Ventura, a former governor, a former mayor, a six-year Navy veteran, honorably discharged, and I've been flying for over 30 years, that I pose any type of threat. I'm not asking for money or any such damages. All I'm asking them to do is stop. Stop searching me. Because in my case, well, you've seen it, Alex. We were in the airport together in Atlanta. I have metal in my body. So when I go through the metal detector, I could go through it naked and it's going to go off, which then subjects me to the sexual groping or the x-ray machine. Well, this summer I'm doing my TV show. I'm traveling, flying three, four times a week. They cannot tell me that they have definitive proof that going into that x-ray machine four times a week for 6 months would not have negative effects on
Governor, stay there. We got to go to break. Let's come back and finish up with that, with the TSA. Then get into the book and a lot more. Infowars.com, folks. We're interviewing former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. We'll talk about the TV show as well.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, the book by New York Times bestselling author Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. We're going to segue into the book, which, again, I'm not just typing this. This is the book to give somebody to wake them up, because it's 63 documents, and it's like eating popcorn. You want to go to the next one, the next one, the next one, and you just learn more and more, and there's the 100% proof. This is not speculation. The book is available at Infowars.com, discounted out of the gates, or call 888-253-3139. You can also get Mark Dice's new book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, with it. When you get the two books together, you can get one of my films free, whichever film you choose, at InfoWars.com. Now, getting into the TSA, think about it, folks. Now they're announcing all from Tennessee to New York, National Guard, TSA, Viper teams, federal marshals, bus stations, highways, train stations, sticking their hands down pants there. That's all over the news. 9,000 locations, Mall of America, Walmarts, putting in big telescreens. And we've now got footage. We've now shot footage of these going in, saying, watch your neighbors, don't trust people. That's directly out of 1984 when I watched the mid-80s film written by Stephen King that's so powerful, The Running Man, with Jesse Ventura and Schwarzenegger. When they're creeping around in the city, Schwarzenegger is trying to hide out from Ventura, you see big billboards saying, hey, kids, October is bonus recruitment month. Report a family member and get a double bonus. This is directly out of 1984, and now they've set the precedent to stick their hands down your pants. They've done it to Ron Paul. They say he's been groped. They've grabbed his genitals. We've had guests on where they go in the pants and they admit this. And I've had district attorneys, the one from San Francisco, on saying he's got officers in there. If he sees them doing it, he's going to prosecute them, because a cop can't pull you over and stick their hands down your pants unless it's an emergency. How does the TSA? So, Governor, I want to finish up with your lawsuit, but then I want to ask you, what do you think of the expansion to TSA on the streets, where you pull up to a checkpoint and they want to now drive you under radiation machines? And they admit that they haven't calibrated the machines, and it's many times more radiation than they'd first said. Governor, breaking down your lawsuit.
Well, again, Alex, the other thing that's interesting about my lawsuit, and again, it's only for me, and I'm stating that it is, I pose no threat, and therefore they're violating my Fourth Amendment. But here's what's interesting. Certain members of our elected people, and I'm not talking the president here because he's got his own plane, but certain members of our elected, they don't have to submit to this. The Speaker of the House does not have to submit to what you and I have to. Now, I challenge, and I don't know for sure, maybe you can help me, but I know Nancy Pelosi never served in the military. I don't think Boehner did either, did he?
No.
Okay, how are they more patriotic than me when I gave 6 years of my life to the United States Navy? Those two have never given their life, put their life on the line in the military yet. They aren't subjected to these searches, but Jesse Ventura is.
Well, Governor, you're absolutely right, but more than just the fact that Pelosi and Obama, they're now... Absolutely, Boehner, and as many as 50 members of the House and Senate are now exempt. They've been videotaped just being waved around security. Here's my question. Is this not bona fide two-tier class system where they are exempt from their own bureaucracy that they're foisting on us, Governor?
Oh, absolutely. You want to hear another good one, Alex? Initially, I was going to sue under the Federal Disabilities Act. Right? Because
yes,
of the metal in my body, I'm disabled. And that says they're to accommodate my disability. Well, what's happening is they're exploiting my disability. Get this. 1 week later, my attorney calls me back and says, we can't sue under the American Disabilities Act. And I said, why not? He goes, it doesn't apply to the federal government.
Unbelievable.
And I said, what? I said, how can they pass laws that apply to all of us in the private sector and they don't have to abide by the very laws they pass? My attorney laughed and said, oh, there's quite a few laws like that. I said, I'm outraged over that. We need to pass a law that says they can't do that. That any law they pass for us, the citizens, the government likewise has to abide by it.
Well, here's an example of that. Obama has now handed out thousands of waivers to McDonald's and their hundreds of thousands of employees alone, but to thousands of companies that are campaign donors, they get a waiver and don't have to buy health insurance, but your hamburger place or your restaurant next door, you've got to buy the insurance. That's a true form of economic discrimination here, where the imperial federal government hands out favors to those that basically bribe them.
On TV with John Boehner and ask him point blank, how are you more patriotic than me?
Well,
and let me add this. When I run mayor, Alex, and when I run governor, you then acquire the title honorable. Well, an honorable person should not have to be searched, should they?
Well, as American citizens under the Fourth Amendment, we all are honorable and innocent until proven guilty. But now 99% of us are guilty until proven innocent. But if you're a big shot currently in government, you're then exempt. I mean, that's classical tyranny.
Yeah, and the thing that why most people aren't perturbed over this naturally is because, you know, like in the old days for me, I could pass through the metal detector by simply taking all the metal out of my pockets and putting on the thing, and you're on your way. But in the case of anyone that's had prosthesis surgery like I have, and you have metal in your body, you're now discriminated against because you had to go get surgery so you could survive.
Well, what about the guy with the urine bag that they pulled off his body? His medical prosthesis. What about? I've seen it. I would imagine you fly a lot. You've seen it where old ladies that can't walk are made to get up out of their wheelchairs.
Yeah, I mean it's absurd. It's utterly. And you know what's interesting, Alex? Who if they caught? You know if they caught someone, it would be headlines.
Well, you know they got the underwear bomber. The U.S. government ordered him to be allowed on the plane.
Yeah, exactly. And who have they caught? Nobody. Nobody. I mean, do they really think the terrorists are going to attack us in the identical same way? I mean, when I was in SEAL Team, we were trained never to do anything alike. You know, when you go in one way, you come out another way if you can. Like in the daytime, if you run ops at night, you always test fire your weapons every day. That way you're not setting any pattern. If you only test fire your weapons on the day you're going out on an op, well, that becomes easy to predict then. So you test fire your weapons every day. That way you don't set patterns. And do they really believe that terrorists are so stupid they try the same thing again? If indeed the terrorists actually did it.
Well, Governor, does this not set the precedent, though, that they can put federal forces on highways, at bus terminals, at train stations, at airports, under this omnipresent threat? And then we learn that Anwar al-Awlaki, Fox News headline in October, the number two in al-Qaeda, meeting secretly at the Pentagon while he is on the wanted list. Did you see that report?
No, I did not. Not at all.
If guys put that Anwar al-Awlaki dined secretly at the Pentagon report up, and that got leaked and they confirmed it was real. I mean, Governor, you've talked about 9/11, the explosives clearly in the towers, all the evidence of that. I mean, more and more, 9/11 is the pretext to destroy our liberties.
And you know what's interesting? Now we can segue to the book a little here, Alex. We print the NIST report on Building 7, where they admit it. They admit Building 7 was demoed. You know how they admit it? They said that it went into total freefall for this many seconds. Well, then it had to be demoed because otherwise they're defying Newton's law of gravity physics. The only way a building like that can go into total freefall, which it says in the NIST report, is to have all resistance removed. And the only way you can remove the resistance is through demolition.
Well, you're absolutely right. And for 8 years, they tried to say that there was no free fall until the videos forced them to prove fact that it did fall.
They could prove it. They could put it on the stopwatch. The building fell as fast as I would jump out of an airplane and free fall. And the stopwatch will tell you that because you can calculate it simply by, you know, the amount of seconds that the building fell and how many feet it falls. It's just simple mathematics.
And we did the timing for 8+ years, and they said we were conspiracy theorists. But later, when they were confronted with it, they had to admit, yes, it fell at free fall. And every demolition expert out there, including yourself in the underwater demolition team, will tell you that you would have an asymmetrical collapse if it was caused by fire, and that itself had never happened until 9/11.
Exactly. So, you know, here's the government's documents admitting the building, in my opinion, was demoed. And then, of course, we also, we go into on 9/11, I devote an entire chapter, of course, we go into the, which something I'm sure you're well aware of, the Pentagon stand down order.
I want to talk about that in a moment. Let me just read some of the 63 documents that are in this book and that are broken down. I mean, you talk about a well-written book. I mean, this thing 100% proves just how criminal the shadowy organizations that Fletcher Prouty wrote about and just how out of control and hubris-filled they are. You have our scandalous post-war history. That's 11 of the documents. Government, military, and corporate secrets. That's another 15 documents or so. Shady White House, another 10 documents. You've got Part 4, 9-11, a think tank anticipation of 9-11, FBI knowledge of terrorist training at flight schools, Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S., Bush told, lied about it, the Pentagon stand-down order, the free fall Building 7, evidence for insider stock trading, the FBI's briefing on trading and the 9-11 commission. Then you go into the war on terror and another 13 documents there and then an epilogue. I mean, Jesse, I've never, and I'm not just saying this because I didn't say this about your other books and they were excellent, I've never seen a book this jam-packed, busting at the seams. One of these points discredits this shadow government COG system. You've got 63 of them, and the way you put them together, everybody has got to get this book and give it to doubting Thomases that they know. I mean, Jesse, you have engaged in a quantum leap with this book. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever put something together like this.
Well, you know, I'm very proud of it. You know, Dick Russell and I worked extremely hard, and really Dick deserves the great credit on the research, because Alex, I don't have the patience. You know me. I'm not going to sit down with the patience to research all this. So my partner, Dick Russell, that's why we're a great team. Dick is phenomenal at doing this research. He finds the documents, then he presents them to me. And, of course, I get shocked when I read the documents. And then, of course, the book is me commenting and writing about the documents. But as I said, every document is reprinted in this book, so the reader doesn't have to take my opinion for it. The reader can actually read the documents themselves.
This should be required reading in every high school, every university, every police chief, anyone who's ever been in denial. The way it's so well written, the way it's so well blurbed and factoided on each piece, starting at page 38, you've got Operation Northwoods, or actually Document 38, and then you turn the page. That's the U.S. government plan to stage 9/11 style attacks. Then, once you've read that document, you get to something that we first found and dug out in 2004 and put in my film Martial Law. You have the stand down order to Cheney. Given over to Rumsfeld to change NORAD's preparation to shoot down errant aircraft. You were trying to get to that, Governor. Break it down.
Well, what it is simple. On June 1st of 2001, up until that point, all air defense was left up to the base commanders, that if the FAA called them and said, we have a problem in the air, the base commander could make the call and scramble the jets. Well, an executive order from George Bush on June of 2001 rescinded that order, and it stated that no planes could be scrambled up in the air without approval of the Department of Defense, the DOD. So in essence, then, you would have a stand down simply by Donald Rumsfeld not answering the phone. Well, if you go to the records of 9/11, for a couple of hours, no one could locate Rumsfeld.
And Cheney was hiding out in the bunker and lied and said he got there 45 minutes later than he had. But Norman Panetta, the head of transportation, confirmed in 5 separate interviews and before Congress that Cheney was lying about being in there and saying the order still stood to basically not shoot down Flight 77 coming into the Pentagon. And here is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff order for the stand down. From June 1st, issued under the vice president's orders through Rumsfeld, and then right after 9/11, they rescinded their previous order and went back to the old shoot-down directive where the generals didn't have to get authorization before they shot down an errant aircraft, and they were begging that day, let us shoot them down, but they wouldn't give them the order.
Well, you know, what can you say? It's as clear as the nose on your face, and, you know, and like I said, for those that doubt, read it yourself. You know, you can read the orders yourself, and you'll see what happened. And, you know, the other thing that really, the document that really bothered me too, Alex, is the first one. The CIA Secret Assassination Manual. Now, and is generally politically inclined. Now, how can our government have a manual, a printed manual, on how to commit first-degree murder when, as far as I know, murder is illegal in every country in the world? And yet we have a manual. And wait till you read this thing, all your viewers out there, if they read it. I mean, it tells, you know, what type of person they'll recruit to do the murders, what his mindset should be. One of the ones, you almost laugh at it. Like they say, throwing people off of buildings or high places is excellent because there's so much plausible denial.
Now, look, I tend to think I know it all, but the older I get, I know how much I don't know. Reading your book, we got it 3 weeks ago, but couldn't start shipping it until this week. I couldn't put it down. I ended up staying up till about 3 a.m. Started at about 9 p.m, wasn't done till 3 a.m, reading the whole book. And there were a lot of documents that I'd never seen. I went and looked them up on the National Archives, and there they were, declassified. This is a literal Rosetta Stone to understand the criminal pathology of this Anglo-American secret team rogue network group that Fletcher Prouty wrote about. And talking to you 4 or 5 months ago, the last time you were on, Governor, you talked about Prouty and his view into the world. And I see a lot of Prouty's understanding overall, almost like his spirit is hanging over this book.
Well, I hope so, because to me, Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Prouty, was a great American. You know, he served his country honorably, and he saw what things were wrong, and he wasn't afraid to come out and write about them, even though his one book, The Secret Team, back in 72, when he initially printed that one, it was censored. Every time they do a printing, the U.S. government would buy up every copy.
63 documents in full with all of the supporting documentation. Very well written. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read at InfoWars.com. Get it. Get it out to everybody. Unlock minds. You know, I'd forgotten to bring up, how is he doing his book tour if he won't fly on commercial planes? And the governor said, hey, final segment, you got to have me, you know, tell folks about this. He's a man of his word. How is he going to do the TV show this season? So let me segue with that. How are you getting around the country if you're not flying and going through the Gestapo blockade? And is the TV show coming back for another hit season?
Well, first of all, I'm getting around the country because I informed my publishers, of course, of the lawsuit. They're well aware of it. So I cannot get on a commercial airliner, because if I get on a commercial airliner, null and void my lawsuit. So I cannot fly, so I am actually flying in a private jet. Because if you fly in a private jet, you know, all the rich people, they don't have to be subjected to any of the normal stuff at the airport. In a private jet, you go through nothing whatsoever to check you.
Well, it's like Rosa Parks. She said, I'm not sitting at the back of the bus. You're saying you're not going to stick your hands in my pants or grab my, Johnson. I mean, that makes perfect sense. This is bigger than Rosa Parks having to sit at the back of the bus.
Well, I don't know, but I'm not going to stand for it. And, you know, Alex, for those out there, and I know they're probably not many of your listeners, but many people attack me over this book, like insinuating I'm somehow a traitor, you know, for exposing government documents. I had a few of these radio guys subtly accuse me of that. Let me read a quote from Patrick Henry. And we all know Patrick Henry's most famous quote was, give me liberty or give me death. But here's another quote from Patrick Henry, so I'm in good company. Patrick Henry, quote, the liberties of a people never were nor ever will be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
And your book exposes that and is a major torpedo at that lie. In closing here, though, just to be sure, because you were telling me privately, it's probably coming back. When will we know if the third season's back?
Well, on the TV show, they're right on the verge. I'll tell you, they called and said, what new conspiracies do you have? And Ty and them sent them about 25 or whatever, and they sent back the 8 that they want to do, but they have not officially picked up yet. You know, and I know, having worked in Hollywood, you never believe anything's going to happen until it actually does. Everything is looking positive for a third season, but you never know until they officially pick it up.
Well, I hope they do, because I love the original work you're doing and consulting and also getting to hang out with you. You're such a great patriot. Jesse Ventura, always wonderful having you on. Last question. We only got a minute and a half left.
By the way, Alex, I haven't chewed on no cigars since I got rid of that damn box you bought me.
Well, you did it first by buying me those cigars. Those are some good ones, though. You recommended those. That's now my favorite cigar.
Oh, on the planet.
All right. In the minute and a half we got left, would you consider running as a third party person with somebody like Ralph Nader or someone else you admire?
I don't know. Right now, Ron Paul is the best I know, because Ron Paul has the knowledge. Ron Paul thinks a great deal like me. And Ron Paul, let's face it, he has the popularity. You know, if Ron and I are to run together, you got to have two people that have great, great popularity. And I think we could make a dynamic duo.
Well, you're absolutely right. That is a match made in victory. What about Donald Trump? He looks like he's going to run. He's got a lot of money.
Yeah, big deal. Donald Trump ain't going to run. I know Donald. Donald rattled his sword 10, 12 years ago about running. Donald is a glutton for publicity, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he rattles his sword around all the time that he's going to run. I will be astounded if Donald Trump literally runs. I think he'll rattle his sword around. He'll get a ton of publicity. He gets to go on all the TV shows and stuff. But I think when push comes to shove, he will not run.
Governor, so you're saying to Ron Paul, you're waiting to get that phone call.
I just said I'd give it great consideration.
All right, Governor Ventura, we look forward to talking to you again in May or June. God bless you, and be safe on your tour.
Okay, you too, Alex.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, in this third hour, on the heels of Governor Jesse Ventura, a lot of breaking news and information about what's going on in his world and his view on things. Now that he's left us, I want to open the phones up for the entire next hour. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll get you up and on the air. That said, I was not hyping the fact. You've heard me say his other books are excellent and got a lot of good information. But this new book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, is particularly powerful and is perfect to wake people up. It is a page-turner. And we are in an information war. You not only support Governor Ventura when you purchase it from us, you also support our operation, but that's the win-win. The real big win in those two wins is you get further informed and increase your knowledge, and then you can give the book to friends and family. And I also just want to add that we helped him with the printing costs. We paid to have it printed for Mark Dice. He's put out a whole bunch of books, but he's always done print on demand. And we've tried to, you know, help Mark actually do this full time. So I paid to print 10,000 of Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True. And it's, I believe, the best of his four books. Of course, the author of The Resistance Manifesto. And you can get The Orwellian Nightmare Come True with Jesse Ventura's book, both of them discounted, and then get a free DVD, Obama Deception, Endgame, Fall the Republic, Invisible Empire. You can get it free with these two books when you get the two books, so quite a discount. And that also puts fuel in our information warfare coffers to continue the fight against the globalists. But I want to hear from you about the fact that they're now dumping this radiation-filled water at 100,000 times safe levels directly in the Pacific. They are saying this could go on for several months before they even figure out how to fix it. More radiation is drifting over at 181 times safe levels of radioactive iodine, 131, according to universities and state governments that have been doing the testing at a state/university facility in Berkeley. Other state facilities are picking up similar readings. That's a big deal that it's a footnote in the New York Times, and they're not even telling people don't drink milk on the West Coast. I know my wife noticed that the brand of organic milk we usually get is from California, and I said, why not pay 30 cents more and get the Texas brand? And it was actually her idea. I said, that's a good idea. And then I had some of it, and I'm like, this tastes a lot better than this other California brand. I'm sorry, it just does. We got to go to Whole Foods to get it, but the point is that I'm not going, I mean, there's no doubt that many of the cows are bioaccumulating radioactive isotopes, and it's coming out in the milk. That was reported last Wednesday by the San Francisco Chronicle, the Oregonian, you name it, in case you just tuned in. There's no debating that. I want to get your views on that as well, your views on Senator Lindsey Graham, the carbon taxing globalist rhino piece of garbage, saying we need to look at restricting free speech in America because of the Koran burning. I think it's a stupid thing to do. It certainly stirs people up. But you know what? The First Amendment, you got to protect dumb people and their right as well as other people, because one person who's dumb is a genius to somebody else. And free speech is free speech, and we're just more real estate if we don't have that. The globalists are abridging every major section of the first 10 amendments. We've got to restore the republic, and that means restoring the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights. I want to get your take on all this. 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. That was a news-making interview with Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm going to make sure it gets posted in its entirety at PrisonPlanet.tv and then at the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. But you can see it first at PrisonPlanet.tv and see it in higher quality and support what we're doing, and plus all the films and more at PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, we'll be right back with your phone calls and a ton of news. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're now 8 minutes into hour number three. I want to open the phones up. Obviously, the teleprompter reading puppet Barack H. Obama, real name Barry Sotero from Indonesia, has announced he's going to run again. The coffers of the foreign bankers will fill him with the $1 billion he needs. We've got Lindsey Graham, the U.S. senator, openly calling for restrictions on the First Amendment because of the Koran burning, saying it hurts our military operations. Well, then I remember when the first Gulf War started, a neocon talk show host saying, arrest protesters, they're hurting the war effort. I mean, these people really don't want freedom in this country. We're the country. We decide. These wars aren't declared. They're illegal. Al-Qaeda is a globalist banker creation. Our military is used to empower the world government, and our name is destroyed in the process, and our treasure is used up, and we lose our young men and women. I'm sick of all this fake warmongering, moralizing about how they're doing this to Gaddafi because he might have hurt some protesters, while their allies in Yemen are mowing people down and Fox News is defending it. It's absolutely incredible. They are reporting 181 times safe levels of radioactive iodine showing up at the University of Berkeley, where they tested the tap water through a state-funded facility. Similar numbers are coming out in other states on the West Coast. Gold rises to near $1,435 as dollar retreats. Oil climbs. Fed seeks $7 million in privately made Liberty dollars. The Feds are now trying to seize Liberty dollars, which are just anybody can go print up their own silver or gold coins. There's thousands of different commemorative coin companies. And in the ruling, they warn here that this sets the precedent to ban barter or private currency, something cities and others have had. I mean, when you go and cash in money at Chuck E. Cheese's to get the little card or whatever, or at Dave and Buster's to put $20 in tokens on it, that's a form of alternate money. I mean, it's just insane. This company been around for 15 years. I've got some Liberty dollars. That's some silver ones that go back to the mid-90s. Now they sell for hundreds of dollars for a 1 ounce coin because nobody can get them. And they're trying to put him in prison. So I'm going to be breaking that down as well. Another example of just extreme hubris. Gulf Spill Company hands out safety bonuses. Company whose rig caused biggest oil spill in U.S. history rewards executives for best year in safety performance last year when this happened. Can't make up that hubris. We're also going to be getting into some other important news dealing with the economy. But right now, let's go to your phone calls. David in Arizona, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy. Yep, sure am. Right here.
All right, nice. Yeah, I was just calling. Wanted to tell you, I went to the Bohemian Grove about, I guess it was a few years before you did. They have weddings there. Have you heard of that?
When it's not shut down in the month of July, some of the private groups are allowed to have weddings there, I believe, with members.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly what it was. It was a family member of mine, and we went in, and when you get there, like you said, they loaded us up on those big army trucks and took us to the main point. And from there, you know, we went to, it's pretty much the main building, met like where the bar is, and they have a big redwood tree that comes in the middle of the bar out the roof. And then they took us on a tour of the place and showed us where the atom bomb was supposedly, you know, designed.
Yeah, that's up on the hilltop, the chalet building.
Yeah, yeah. And then when on your episode with that Decoded,
yes,
when you guys went down that river, they actually took us to a guard shack up there that overlooked the whole Russian River.
Yeah, it's right above the little bridge.
Yep. So, yeah, we actually went there and saw deer swimming through there. So I don't know if they saw you guys coming or how long were you in there before they ran you out?
Well, I didn't really go in. The crew went in and then ran from the guards and got arrested. I just followed them up to the water line, and by then, basically, they got grabbed, and I didn't. I got out of there.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I knew it was exclusive and ex-presidents, everything else. I didn't have a clue what it is that I know today. So,
well, it's not just ex-presidents. It's current presidents have been known to go there, going back to William Howard Taft right around 1900 or 1901. But did you see Moloch, the big stone idol?
Didn't. No, I missed that. That would have been great. That was the one thing.
They didn't show you that, David. Well, I appreciate your call. Interesting story, man. Let's talk to Tim in Michigan. Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, first off, I just wanted to ask you about this play on words. You know, we're typically in four wars right now. And my first question to you is, how many wars or countries do we have to invade before it's considered a world war? And second, my observation of Mr. Fake Birth Certificate Obama, all I've heard from him is speech after speech, lip service after lip service, and I don't know any other president combined, in fact, from what I hear, has spent more money as a single president than any other presidents combined together.
Yeah, he has, and then that's because he's a puppet and the bankers are finally bleeding us completely out. But going back to your first question, what was your first question?
Well, you used a certain term, and it was kind of weird. I never heard it before, what you were calling these, they call it a police action in Vietnam. But now they're calling it some other kind of military.
They're calling it a kinetic action. They're saying it's not a war. It's kinetic when we drop bombs and send in special forces. Those are not ground forces. They're just on the ground. And I appreciate your call. It's an excellent point, Tim. Going back and expanding on this, this isn't really so much the start of World War III. Or a lot of people the CIA called the Cold War World War III. This isn't really the start of World War IV, though it could lead to that. What it is a NATO globalist Anglo-American establishment invasion of third world countries that they've wanted to overthrow. So it's a neo-colonial, imperial, multi-pronged invasion with a new system they're using where they openly finance rebels to overthrow governments. And when the rebels succeed, they come in and take over behind them. Or if they don't succeed, they give them air power and weapons and ground advisors. And so it's really not new in history, but it's new in the last few decades. And then they call it humanitarian. Then when their other dictators are murdering their public, they call it loving and good and fighting Al-Qaeda. But then when they're fighting Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, they say al-Qaeda is good, but then when they're fighting al-Qaeda in another country, al-Qaeda is bad. And it's just basically the globalists are a private corporate crime network who manipulate major governments, who fund terrorist groups to then attack countries so they can take our liberties here domestically. I mean, it's a one-size-fits-all system that they use. But bumping into the borders of Russia, China, and others, as is now happening in Central Asia, the 888 situation in 2008 with the NATO-backed attack on the Russian-controlled enclaves of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. The Russians just rolled mobile nuke platforms in, and their chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff came out and said, we're preparing to use nuclear weapons on you. Pull back as NATO forces landed to back up the humanitarian force, and the globalists blinked and backed off. The Russians rolled in nukes and said, we're preparing to fire nuclear weapons. They had their chairman go on television and say, this is an act of aggression. We're preparing for nuclear warfare. We're going to start with tactical weapons. And if you respond to those, we're going to launch ICBMs, basically. And Dick Cheney, who started it, later it came out, was the one that ran it, said, whoa, they had NATO, they had Israelis, they had U.S. forces advising the puppet minion in Georgia. And again, I'm not saying the Russians are good either. The point is the globalists are just out of their minds trying to start World War III. And that all went on the day the Olympics started at 888 while Putin was meeting with Bush. They got the word that this had started. So very, very bizarre. Let's talk to Francis in Texas. Francis, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. First of all, I just want to say that with regards to the comment of Senator Lindsey Graham of amending the First Amendment, I say that the American people should realize that once this fellow and anyone who supports him does this, and we agree to it, then that's the end of our Bill of Rights. And I agree that, you know, that we have been lied to for a very long time about the wars, the illegal wars that's happening now in Libya, the war in Afghanistan. Why in the world should, you know, a country like us, who declares us to be, you know, patriotic and, you know, who campaigned for freedom and liberty and justice, be involved in wars that we're not supposed to be in? The lies that the current president says that he's going to pull out troops and bring them home. You know, I feel that, you know, the young men and women that's fighting, thinking that they're fighting for the truth and justice and equality, they're not there to fight those kind of objectives, but they were there as a pawn, you know, and bringing so much pain and misery, not only to their family, but to our country. So I just hope that something would be done about this, and I hope that you and all of you that who profess the truth be protected and be blessed by God.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, Francis. Look, if they're able to set the precedent saying that this is inciting and not make it about the people burning and chopping heads off and shooting people in Afghanistan, but make it about this pastor burning the Quran after he put it on trial. Now he's going to put Muhammad on trial and burn an effigy. And these Muslim countries, most of them don't have any liberties, but their government will back off if they go wild over, you know, religion. This is what the globalists want. It turned out CIA-backed groups published those images of Muhammad, you know, with the bomb on his head. That was done to get the Muslims riled up because they want to have a war with them. Okay, we're continuing with your phone calls. Coming up, I have a trailer for a new video game. I've literally seen 10, 15, I don't know, I haven't counted them up, video game trailers the last few years pushing the idea of UN invasions of America, world government tyranny, poisoning the drinking water, eugenics. You can look at this two ways. Are the video game producers fans of this show? Yes, a lot of them are and have contacted me, and there's little blurbs and nods to this show in many video games that we've listed before. Or you can look at it that some of these big companies are basically trying to acclimate people. That's coming up for a little bit in the next segment, along with some news. But right now, let's go to Tony in Oklahoma. Tony, thanks for holding.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I appreciate you having me on your show. And first, I'd like to say thank you so much for the quality of the guests that you bring on your show. Just the depth of the conversation that you got that you bring is great. You listen to other shows or television shows, and it's just fast, fast, boom, 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 talking head. And
the conservative shows just freak out over Muslims and how scary they are and how dangerous they are and give up all your rights for hour after hour. It just gets old. And then meanwhile, the Muslim extremists work for the globalist on record.
Exactly. Well, thank you for having Mr. Ventura on. That was an incredible hour. I enjoyed that so much. One of the reasons I called was I wanted to see if what your take was on a lot of the companies and corporations that are working overseas and support roles for the military in like Afghanistan and Iraq, and what your take on all of that was. I'm probably heading that way in about a month myself. I've accepted a position with a company that's...
Yeah, that's about the only boom economy is the contractors. Well, you got Dyncor, Halliburton, XZ. You've got countless groups out there with no bid contracts who are making a killing off of all of these operations. I mean, what's your view of it?
Well, you know, my view is I've got a family to feed. My company took a major hit last year. It just tanked. I got hit by a lot of contractors that slow paid me, and I've got.
Well, that's what a managed economy does. The only money for scholarships is police state stuff. The only money for government contracts is the empire. They basically, if you're not an Obama supporter, you don't get the waiver on your insurance for your employees. That's what an organized command and control economy is about. That's what fascism is about. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that, and it's put me in a position that I've got to do what I've got to do, and. Unfortunately, you know, it takes me away from my family for an extended period of time. One of the other questions that I had for you was some background information on HAARP. Where would I look for that on the internet?
Well, we interviewed the director of HAARP a few years ago, and we re-aired that and reposted it on Infowars.com. Just search Alex Jones Interviews, Director of HAARP. We've got Dr. Nick Begich's book and his video available at Infowars.com that break all of that down. Really, just type HAARPinfowars.com, and you'll get reliable reports and information, not conspiracy theories, about what these types of technologies do. But now there's mainstream news articles admitting that Arab countries, China, the Russians, they use similar HAARP arrays and admit it's for weather modification. A lot of that's now public.
Well, I'm a new listener, and I'd never heard anything about that before, and I was just like, wow, this is very interesting. So I wanted to do some research on that. And then one comment I'd like to make, and I thank you for letting me stay on. I wonder if there's not so many people. I've been talking about the things that you share for 20 years, and people look at me like I'm a nut job, and I'm like, well, you know, whatever. But anyway, do you think so many people in America today are just, they're so deeply invested in the system that they're afraid of the truth? They don't even want to know the truth?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But it's also that the truth is so scary that they want to rationalize to themselves and tell themselves it isn't true, because then they might have to get up and do something. They see themselves as reactive spectators, not as leaders, not as people that have power. People feel isolated. All they do is watch TV, don't even hang out with their neighbors. And so people are so isolated, and the global social engineers know that everything's compartmentalized and that people have a limited, wide-spectrum understanding, so they play on that, and that's how they're able to feed people more and more lies and disinformation. But a separation is happening. One large group of people is growing and becoming more informed, but others that want to believe the lie, they're getting deeper into the lie and believing more and more of it. But they don't count. In the Revolutionary War, it was 5% that started it and won it. And we're in an info war. We got way more than 5%, brother. So spectators really don't count. They've already taken themselves out of the game. What matters is that you're out there spreading the word, getting involved, and the system can't stop that. No army. Okay, I want to get into the economy and what's happened with the Liberty Dollar. Fed seeks $7 million in privately made Liberty Dollars here in a moment. But first, I wanted to get into some predictive programming, where in video games, movies, much of it admittedly financed by the federal government and think tanks to put out certain messages. Like you watch dramas. I mean, I might watch dramas twice a year. And almost every episode is the person that's against abortions wants to murder people. Or the homeschoolers are trying to nerve gas the neighborhood. Then they have federal drills all over the country where they come into unannounced elementary schools and scream, we're going to kill you. We're anti-open border people. We're pro-life. We're anti, groups that don't like the Second Amendment. This is all part of a demonization campaign where these groups really aren't committing any of these crimes or doing any of these things, and the globalists are using it to traumatize children in these drills, but then the only thing that backs it up in reality is the unreality of television. And a great example of this is almost all the cop shows are based in Chicago or New York. And they're dramas. And they catch a guy with a gun in his house, he goes to jail. They catch a guy with a shotgun in his car, he goes to jail. Not illegal in most states. It's only actually a few cities where it's totally illegal. But they don't care. And then people that weren't raised in the Second Amendment, who don't know their rights, they then think when they're at your house and they see a gun case locked with firearms in it, they begin hyperventilating. I mean, I put my gun cases and things, you know, now in the closet locked up because repair people and others see it and they begin hyperventilating and they want to call the police. And in one case, you know, they tried to. I've talked about that hundreds of times. This is mind control. I got my guns. They're legal. And some domesticated, cowardly, servile person, most of the time I see it in the news, it's realtors. They come in your house. They see guns. They call the police. Reloading equipment. It's over. You're going to jail. And the SWAT team goes ahead and hits you and hits you hard. They know it's legal. They don't care. I see those reports all the time. It's almost always an old man in his garage who's tinkering, cleaning guns, and neighbors walk by and call the police, and the cops take him to jail. I've seen this countless times and say, well, he did have 9 firearms and 2,000 rounds of ammo. We believe this is an arsenal. Then you look up the state law, whether it's California where I've seen it or Massachusetts, and there's no law against having the 9 firearms or the ammo. But they still go to jail. Remember the woman in New York got pulled over with a shotgun in her trunk and it was legal, but they went ahead and took her to jail? Ladies and gentlemen, I have seen my listeners go to jail, and it's in the newspaper. Kelly Rushing, this has got to be 7-8 years ago, and I read the Kentucky Lyon County newspaper, showed it to you here on air. He calls me. I'd heard the caller before. He was handing out hundreds of my videos, at that time VHS. And on one VHS, it had a Ron Paul neocon speech for an hour. And then it had Road to Tyranny in slow play. And he was giving it out around town, family very well known, middle class guy, business owner. Because when I first heard the story, I made phone calls to the town. I didn't believe it. I was naive 7-8 years ago. And I looked in the phone book, called other Rushings, and talked to his brother, talked to others, called to church. They knew who he was. Then I was sent the newspaper article, and it said he's facing trial this week for threats against police for the video. And they came and arrested him and said that's an anti-law enforcement video. All it shows was military admitting they're training to take our guns and Ron Paul giving a speech in the House of Representatives. And the state police came and arrested him, and they took it to trial and told the jury, put him in jail for 3 years per count for the Ron Paul video he was charged and for my video. Both were seen as illegal. And I called the judge up at home, and I said, are you really doing this? You're really having a trial for a video? And he said, yes, but I'm not going to talk about the case with you. I couldn't believe that then. Then I saw other cases. So in America, they will arrest you for your illegal firearms. They will arrest you for not vaccinating your children, even though it's not the law. You see it all the time in the news. They will arrest you for things that are legal and lawful because they love it. The government is scum, criminal run. Now, you want to ship hundreds of billions of narcotics in and have Wells Fargo, Wachovia caught with it, you don't get in trouble. Bloomberg, London Telegraph. Was it back in the news yesterday? You want to be DynCorp Halliburton caught running giant child kidnapping rings all over the world, congressional hearings, nobody gets in trouble. You want to put sodium fluoride in the water causing massive cancer increases knowingly, you don't get in trouble. You're the UN caught adding sterilants to vaccines worldwide on record, you don't get in trouble. But you spank your kid in the backyard when they try to climb the fence or whatever, and it isn't even illegal. Your neighbor calls, you're going to lose your kids if they have their way. You clean your gun in the garage with it open, those yuppies are going to see you go to jail. They're going to feel good when you're in the back of that squad car. And the government so loves tattletaling that they will try to still put you in jail, even if it's not illegal. This is what America's become. All right, now I've segued and digressed off into other areas. I want to go to Rob Allen, Sean Gator, Scott, and others. But let's go ahead and play this new video game trailer. And I just see these all the time. For America 2049 has kicked off a viral marketing campaign to promote what appears to be upcoming video game. The story sounds and surrounds an America in 2049 ruled by a tyrannical group known as the Council of American Heritage and fighting the freedom group called the Terrorist Organization. You won't have to wait to 2049 for this to happen. Try 2020 if we don't slow things down, or even faster. They're opening everywhere trying to push restrictions on free speech. Let's go ahead and play this clip.
They told me that I belong to anybody who wants me from now on.
I wanted the chance to be free! To reclaim my heritage!
See, around here, they don't allow any mixing of the races like they do in looser parts of the country.
A secure government facility has been attacked. Sources tell us that at least five inmates have been freed. Preliminary reports allege that the attackers are affiliated with Divided We Fall, the terrorist group.
Agent, so nice to see you again. You're becoming great friends. Eyes will be watching you and judging.
If we find him, we can take out DWF from the top. It's of vital importance. Don't let us down again, Agent.
Guys like us took an oath to protect this country against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. That oath didn't die with our army.
Okay, so there you have it. This is supposedly some right-wing government's taking over in the future. Now, here is another video game ad that's been out for a couple years, Shattered Union. And notice the United Nations basically invades to save America, and they're one of the factions. But the evil Texans, they're one of the big enemies here. Here it is, Shattered Union.
Following a disputed election and a tie vote, the U.S. Congress installs the most unpopular president in U.S. history as David Jefferson Adams becomes the 44th president of the United States. Shortly after the election, increased unrest, rioting, and a growing number of militias have given rise to ever-increasing domestic terrorism. In response, the president invokes the Homeland Security Act and declares martial law on the West Coast and other areas of the country. Though highly contested, a Supreme Court ruling sidesteps the electoral process, disqualifying popular presidential candidates from several states. Public outrage explodes when a sham election leads to incumbent David Adams accepting a second term in office. During the 57th Inauguration Day ceremonies, Washington, D.C. is struck by a low-yield nuclear weapon, killing David Adams and most of the U.S. Congress. The destruction of Washington, D.C. effectively breaks the chain of succession, sending the nation into chaos. In an emergency vote, the European Union deploys peacekeepers in the greater D.C. area to secure international interests. With separatist sentiment rising, California's governor declares home rule and secedes from the Union. Texas follows quickly and declares sovereignty, taking neighboring states with them and forming the Republic of Texas. from now. The once United States of America lie in ruin. The time for words has passed, and a second American Civil War now erupts as seven factions wage war across the land.
Okay. Now, going back here, you notice the United Nations invades countries all over the world and always engages in massacres. And you notice that deals have been signed under the Security and Prosperity Partnership, North American Union Security Perimeter, to, quote, use foreign troops in North America to put down civil insurrection. That's now Ottawa Citizen, Associated Press. They signed the deal almost 9 years ago, but they've made it public now this year. Now, we even have a few mainstream news articles reporting on it from 2002 that are in my film, Road to Tyranny, 911, The Road to Tyranny. So basically, the public is being acclimated to accept foreign troops here inside of the United States during civil insurrection. And NLE 09, run by FEMA, had that in their battle plan as well. So everybody's just being conditioned to accept this, and I tell you now it's in the cards. And you see the precedent set of UN forces and NATO forces bombing and going into countries when their rebels are overthrowing the government. Going on in the Ivory Coast right now, going on in Libya. And and what's happening now in the Ivory Coast really signifies this is what we broke down a month ago, what other experts broke down. It appears to be an AFRICOM system run out of the Pentagon with NATO as its front. All right, continuing with the news here. Gold rises near $1,435 as dollar retreats, oil climbs. In fact, guys, will you get me the latest on gold prices? You can just pull up Kitco if you want. I want to get the latest on gold and silver prices. Thank you. Gold rose back to above $1,430 an ounce today as oil prices climbed and the dollar eased, and traders anticipated a rate hike from the European Central Bank that may lead to further weakness in the U.S. currency. And, of course, they're not going to follow suit, they said, until the end of the year with rate hikes. And so that will further weaken the dollar. Spot gold was around $1,434 an ounce against $1,427 in late on Friday. And as of this morning, silver was up yet again as well. So the issue here is every time that gold goes up and silver goes up, the system comes in and tries to push it back down. But if you look at the one-year graph, the five-year graph, the 10-year, the 11-year graph, both gold and silver going up. But whenever it dips down before it goes back up, they always hype that it's been completely discredited and destroyed. And so yuppies and people run around saying, see, it's a bad investment. And it's like a beach ball. They push it under, it pops back up. But more news on inflation increasing. The head of Walmart, obviously, last week, saying we're facing serious inflation. But the White House is still running around saying that their monetization of trillions of debt is not causing a problem, even though historically and monetarily we know what this is going to do. Continuing along the monetary policy line, to say that there's been 1,000 companies is conservative. I haven't counted it up. But there are thousands of known companies that have come and gone that issue gold and silver coins, commemorative coins. I could go start a company, you could start a company, and stamp out coins as commemorative and put them out. Now, going back more than 15 years ago, the Liberty Dollar came out with the guy that had run the famous Hawaiian private mint that put out commemorative coins. I remember seeing when I was a kid the ads on TV for his outfit. Well, he decided to put out an alternative currency, which any city, county, individual, you can have a business and say, you know, we use this currency here, cash in cash to get it. A lot of places do. Like I said, when you go to a Dave and Buster's or some type of place where you eat dinner and play video games and things, you can take your money, you give them cash or credit card, and they put it on the Dave and Buster's card. And then that has the money on it. And what the feds are saying here is that's illegal. And you got Montana, you got South Carolina moving to pass legislation to issue their own state gold and silver currency. And in our country's history, many states have had their own currencies. In fact, we had a lot of competing currencies until 1913. You still had the overall Lincoln greenback. from the Civil War, but there were still state currencies and state banks and everything else. So they're really worried about this as they devalue the dollar, that people are going to go for stable alternatives that are set in gold and silver in ounces or in fractions of ounces. Federal prosecutors on Monday tried to take a hoard of silver, Liberty dollars worth about $7 million. Now, they also had paper that people could put on deposit at Liberty Dollar. When the feds first raided them, they had enough silver and more for all the paper they'd also issued. They thought they'd get them there, but the feds convict people over 96% of the time. They don't like to be wrong, so they just make stuff up as they go along. Kind of like taking you to jail for illegal guns or for illegal AR-15. Federal prosecutors on Monday tried to take a hoard of silver, Liberty dollars worth $7 million that authorities say was invented by an Indiana man to compete with U.S. currency. He invented silver and gold coins. Bernard von Natas, 67, we need to get him on, was convicted last month in federal court in Statesville on conspiracy and counterfeiting charges for making and selling the currency, which he promoted as inflation-proof competition for the U.S. dollar. Well, that's what we promote to buy gold and silver, whether it be Australian or whether it be British or Canadian or U.S. government buffaloes or eagles or South African Krugerrands or Swiss francs or British sovereigns. Because, I mean, you know, you 10 years ago you buy it at $260 an ounce and now it's $1,430-something. That's about the inflation line. That's why you get this commodity that's been used for 6,000 years. It's not rocket science. And so, he promoted it as inflation proof. See, they sell this like it's dirty. Like, these people don't give their kids vaccines. These people eat organic food. How many vegetarian families or organic families have their kids taken? A lot. The prosecutor successfully painted Victor von Nuthaus in a false light, and now the U.S. attorney responsible for the prosecution is painting the case in a false light, saying that it establishes that private voluntary barter currency is illegal, his lawyer wrote. The trial was scheduled to resume Monday in Statesville. The case involves more than 5 tons of Liberty dollars and precious metals seized from a warehouse, was in a vault, which the government wants to take by forfeiture. They want to steal it. Kind of like when the government caught $376 billion in laundered money and the big banks owning the planes and everything. They just said, just give us $100 million. We just want some of the little piece. Hey, we understand. We ship it in with you. It's competition. So there you go. Legal aliens can run wild, drunk, drive whatever they want. Corrupt government. Foreign banks can steal trillions. But you don't issue your own silver and gold coins. How dare you? By the way, continuing with economic news, Wall Street Journal, precious metals, inflation worries send gold, silver higher. Silver is at $38 and change, getting up there an all-time high. Gold futures rose even above the point that they physically went today, signaling higher silver and gold in the days to come. Another headline, gold, silver rises, inflation projection, the street, market watch, gold, silver futures trade higher. And, of course, housing prices continue to plunge. But the media, the dominant talking heads, tell us that the economy's a lot better and inflation is no big deal. I had to bring Ted Anderson up. I just called him during the break. Because Ted is still, as of this morning, he said, I'm about to go up $31 for three silver dollars. Three silver dollars at $38 a piece. Do the math. What is that, How much is three silver dollars right now in the regular market, Ted?
Well, the regular silver dollars are over $40 a piece. So if you're picking up three of your videos and three of the silver dollars and we're delivering them for $110, I mean, it is so far beyond being a no-brainer, Alex. I mean, again, like you and I discussed last time, I have to raise my prices because I'm selling these things for less than what I pay for them now by a great margin.
Yeah, three of those coins is $120 if you're lucky. But you're talking about How much for the three coins, Ted?
Well, it's $110 delivered. $5 goes for the postage, and there's some value there, about $15 at least.
But then on top of it, Fall of the Republic, Obama Deception, and Endgame, a $60 value. So we're talking about a $70-plus dollar discount. It's a smoking deal on silver alone at $31 an ounce, with it over $38 right now. Do the math, and I would say that your purchase supports the broadcast. Quite frankly, it doesn't. Ted does these lost leaders. I love to be able to offer things to our listeners. How long, Ted, can you hold it at the $31 a piece?
You know, Alex, I'm going to hold this till tonight. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, because silver's at $38.63 at market peak today, and I'm expecting it to go even further. When I have silver spot sitting at $39 an ounce, I'm not going to be able to sell silver dollars at this price. It's just impossible.
Yeah, the point is, you're not like other brokers that get the orders and then try to buy it. You have it in your vault there in town at the bank. You take it and then ship it out to people. You've got it right now. You've also got limited silver and other gold coins, but they've got to say it's the radio special to have that long list of super discounts. What are some of the other specials, briefly, you've got, Ted Anderson?
Well, I mean, right now, the Walking Liberty half right now is at $18.08. Those are over $20 now regularly. The Lakota Nation coins at $44.65. That's gone up, too. British Sovereigns right now at $3.90. Those are higher. Franks right now at $311. And we got a range of things. Hey, how about this? The Creature from Jekyll Island book delivered right now for $31 and get one silver dollar in it. I mean, it's just... There's such an array of things that I have that are so far below spot.
Let's explain. How much for the book and the silver dollar?
$31 still.
The book's normally $20. The coin's about $40. $31 for a $40 coin and a $20 book. That's $31 for something that should be above $60. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that's half price. Ted is crazy. There's no doubt about it. Crazy for liberty and a very competitive individual. But it ends tonight at these prices. It'll go up a little, but still be a great deal. Tell them Alex Jones sent you, though. It'll be the higher price, which is still a great deal. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Silver and gold right now exploding because of dollar devaluation, as they now talk about QE3 and further global devaluation. 800-686-2237. Again, they tell them it's the Radio Alex Jones special to get a whole list of things that are discounted. Right, Ted?
Yep, that's right.
And chief among it, three silver dollars, three of my films for what? You said 110?
110 delivered.
So that's the shipping on top of it for free. Do the math. It doesn't, again, I mean, can you find something better? I dare you. 800-686-2237. The Jesse Ventura interview coming up in retransmission, InfoWars.com. Great job, Greg. Jesse Ventura coming up. Incredible interview.
GCN.
See you back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. Love
Visit
you all.
GCN
We're going to defeat the globalists together.
Today.
The truth's unstoppable!